Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. Obstruction of justice is a crime. Subverting justice strikes at the roots of civilization. Lying is central to obstruction and is often part of the original crime. Take Bernie Madoff.
It's one of the most shocking stories I've ever reported. I mean, I went into this thinking Madoff must have been a genius lawyer because he survived four SEC investigations while running the world's biggest Ponzi scheme.
For decades.
And part of the problem, clearly, is they, you know, the lower-level investigators, he was a terrible liar. He was inconsistent. He would tell the story to one person one day. Sometimes the same investigator, he'd totally change his story. Are options part of the model? One day no, one day yes. Wait a minute, didn't you just say that they were? No, I never said that. I mean, the guy is hopping up and down saying he's committing perjury, he's lying. They wouldn't refer the case to the Justice Department for further investigation. Why? I mean, I think part of that is what happens when even law enforcement itself comes to the view that, oh, well, everyone's doing it, you know, so why would we single out this guy when everyone else is getting away with it? And just kind of accepting it and shrugging, which is a terrible state of affairs in and of itself. But why, even if they weren't going to refer a perjury case, why they couldn't uncover the fact that he's running a huge Ponzi scheme is truly astonishing.
James Stewart tells the stories of four convicted criminals, convicted of lying under oath. The complicity of lawyers, regulators, corporations, the media, and of their gullible and dishonest supporters enabled those crimes. When justice is perverted and obstructed by willful lying, democracy is imperiled. Pulitzer Prize winner Stewart argues that civilization itself cannot be sustained on a diet of lies. James Stewart, over the years and years, I've had a number of friends who have said to me, looking at the America and what they consider a state of decline, saying, well, the problem is greed. And the ethicists are known to say, well, greed is the queen of the vices. And then you throw up your hands and say, well, there's nothing you can do. You don't understand humans. You've given me a foothold, traction, to say yes and, rather than, if that is the case, and I think it's arguable, there is a remedy, and the remedy is in truthfulness.
Yes, you know, I don't think anyone, at least in this country, resents people's success. In fact, they celebrate it. They love to see that. And that includes financial success as well as success in many other areas, with the caveat that they have to feel it was the product of fair play. That someone didn't cheat their way to the top. And I think when people start lying to get somewhere, when they start lying to achieve something, and in fact, when they're already successful and celebrated, and then they lie to maintain their status, or for any number of other reasons, I think that's profoundly unsettling to most people, especially when the lies are, in a way, they sort of insult everyone's intelligence. I mean, you know, well, we can get into some of these examples, but it's pretty obvious that these statements are false, and yet they expect everyone to swallow and sweep it under the rug and agree and enable them to keep doing this. And I think that is corrosive. People do resent that.
Quote a lawyer talking about a conspiracy of dunces, which was not, I think, intended to be descriptive of his clients, but by your representation, it was functionally descriptive of his clients.
Well, yeah, isn't that amazing? That was the lawyer for Martha Stewart and her stockbroker, Peter Bukanovic. And they're a good illustration of this phenomenon because they were both, I mean, Martha Stewart, of course, is a huge celebrity and a billionaire, but the stockbroker was also very accomplished, very well-paid, respected, well-educated. And the lawyer's argument was that the lies they told were so bad, the conspiracy they put together was so inept that how could people who were that successful, that intelligent, and that well-educated do it? So he was trying to say, well, they couldn't have done it because they're too smart to have done something like that. But in all the cases in this book, people have said, well, who's the best liar? And the real question is, who's the worst liar? Because they're all bad. The only question is, who's the worst? And these lies, they were clumsy. And yet, I think that's the hubris that goes with
this. The hubris, exactly.
They didn't even bother to come up with a good story. They didn't think they needed to.
That's insulting to everybody.
It is to everyone.
Particularly to the justice system. I mean, Paula's word, I mean, she looks at it. Justice to me is so central in this. And the, how to say, the efforts, the extraordinary efforts and resources that it went into thwarting or attempting to thwart justice. I mean, I know about it, but when you read about it in detail, when you hear people's words, what they said, how they tried to rationalize it, it's simply appalling.
Yes, I think it's infuriating. It's a theme that courses through this whole book. And just to cite the Martha Stewart example, she was convicted of lying. She deserved to be convicted. The evidence is overwhelming. Yet, to this day, she goes around saying, one, that she's innocent. Well, I guess that's her prerogative.
It's her story.
But she doesn't stop there. She's saying she was persecuted because she's a successful woman, undermining confidence in the integrity of the judicial system. And that is a huge lie. Believe me, when you actually see the facts here, she was not persecuted. She was treated with kid gloves because she was a successful woman. And you can certainly make the argument that she got off easy because she was a successful woman.
You also... Doug Fanuel.
Fanuel.
Thank you. I couldn't understand the conspiracy of dunces. I mean, some of it made a little sense, but his analysis of that that you include at the end is, to me, makes sense of it. These people were talking past one another.
Exactly.
Nobody was listening. Yeah.
Well, it seems to be. I mean, and it's, you know, reading something like this, you try to extract. Are there any generalities? Are there patterns here that make sense? And an awful lot of it is these people just don't listen. They seem to be absorbed in their own worlds and themselves and ignore everything else.
Amazingly. Well, that is a theme, I think, that emerges in the book. When I started the reporting for this, one of the big mysteries to me was, why would people like Martha Stewart, who's so successful, so wealthy, so acclaimed, with so much to lose, why would they, of all people, lie under oath, commit a felony, risk losing, if not everything, a tremendous amount? And that baffled me. By the time I finished, which took several years of reporting and immersing myself in these cases, I came 180 degrees the other way. I came to the conclusion that actually people like this are probably more likely to lie under oath than the rest of us. And one of the reasons is that they never listen to anyone. They don't listen to their lawyers, they don't listen to the people who work for them, and they don't have to. And to the extent that they do listen, they're usually only hearing what people think they want to hear or believe. So there are repeated examples in these stories where they make the most preposterous assertions when someone around them should have stood up and said, wait a minute, this is crazy, this doesn't make any sense at all. And they would just nod and smile and... I would call them enablers.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't act in a vacuum. And people who are celebrated, wealthy, powerful, there are many people around them who have a vested interest in telling them what they want to hear and keeping that golden goose laying the eggs. Bernard Madoff is certainly one of the amazing examples.
I have to say, one set of enablers seemed to be the lawyers that were involved.
Well, I went to law school myself, and I distinctly remember a section of the Code of Professional Responsibility that says lawyers should not knowingly allow a client to lie.
That's unambiguous.
It's unambiguous. And yet, especially in the criminal defense bar, you see people, I mean, all these lies under oath took place when there were highly paid lawyers sitting at their side. And they don't interrupt these depositions, these interrogations. They don't say, oh, wait a minute, maybe we need a little break here. And there are a few exceptions of lawyers in here who do behave quite honorably. But the majority of them, I think, are in the enabling category. They seem to think that with their guidance, their clients are going to get away with it. And so they don't stop because they had to have known that these statements were lies.
James Stewart has written Tangled Webs, Tangled Indeed. We'll be back in just a moment to explore some of the stories behind these larger, very important truths when we return with James Stewart. Be with us.